And jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, back in the saddle again. Back home anyway. Back home from what was a really whirlwind weekend. And don't know if I'm coming or going sometimes, to be honest with you. We're back here in the home studio. Jared, the brains behind Coach Dave Live. Jared's over in my million-dollar basement over here, running the show from here. We're a little limited this morning because he doesn't have all of his equipment with him, and so we probably won't be using any videos. Jared was the star of the show at Occupy 2018. The reason he was star of the show is because he kept all the electronics moving and operating behind the scenes. Good job, Jared. I just got to say that. So we're back home. I looked out the window this morning. My grass needs cut. Getting ready to rain. I'm back to my life. You guys know what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. I like mowing grass because everything's so loud, I just can think and block everything out. So I'm going to have to attack that thing later on this afternoon. I won't be surprised if here in a few minutes those pitter-patter little feet come down the hill and see Grampy and Gigi this morning. So Michelle and I living so close to our grandchildren, miss them. Some of you, I feel for some of you out there that have grandkids, you hardly ever see them. We've been away from them since when? Do we go up Thursday, Friday morning, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three nights, and I feel like it's been forever, and they're probably driving cars right now. So welcome to Pass the Salt. Got a lot on, lot. You know, when I go away from the show like this, when I get away from home, and when we move into a different venue like we were all weekend up in Akron, it's like the world continues on, and I feel like for the next 4 or 5 days I'm trying to play catch up to get back to where we were, where we are. And I want to talk about the issues of the day, but I want to do a little bit of a debriefing about our weekend. You know, I don't do this debriefing talking about the event. I don't do it to rub it in anybody's face. I hope you understand that. But I think it's important that we talk about some of these things. So those of you who weren't able to get there will understand the importance of getting there. You hear me? The importance of getting there. And, you know, I haven't spoken to, in the queue right now, probably 10 people who were at the event who maybe aren't even home. And I know that they're going to be able to talk a little bit about being there. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers. There's something very, very powerful about looking a brother in your eye that you've only seen. You build a relationship with through this medium here that we're dealing with. But to be able to walk into a room and somebody walks across the room and says, "Hey, aren't you George? I've seen you on the show. Aren't you Roger? Is that you?" And the immediate, I don't know how to explain it. The immediate camaraderie that happens as a result of it. And, you know, we're having an event here in June. And I cannot say it enough. You owe it to yourself to get here. You got to get here. And not because of any other reason than you need to understand, number one, you're not alone. Number two, get to know your brothers in arms. And number three, that we would all do the best we can to try to be that assembling of ourselves together even more as the day approaches. So we had a wonderful event. Gary Pierce and Kevin Bushy, the Sarge, is amazing work that they did. We had about I don't have firm numbers because, you know, we let some people come in. We bought tickets for some people, other people. We had walk-ups. I would say we had a room that was supposed to, at the maximum capacity, hold 350. And I would think we probably were in, I don't know, 325 would be my guess. If you could have gotten there, we could have gotten you in, and they came from all over, from sea to shining sea, literally. I'm thinking of Taylor Joseph, who literally drove from California to be part of it. Think of people who, I think of Todd and Leslie and Lexi, who drove from Houston, Texas, and what a blessing they were from it. And if I were to begin to go down the list of people in this queue who came, it just does my heart good, because there's a real, real special bond. So we started out on Friday night. I'm going to give you a little overview. David Heavener talked about the TV series, The Last Evangelist, that he's produced. And he had about 20 minutes, did a great job with it. Followed by Tom Dunn. Tom Dunn is a local documentary maker. He made the documentary Detestable. He's already made one. Tom's going to work closely with us. He was really good. And then Bill Federer came on for an hour and a half, and it was like, Bill Federer is amazing. And then Friday night, at the conclusion of Friday night, it's one of the things I've been missing in a lot of these events. We divided off according to regions. Again, Kevin Bush, he did a great job, and Gary did it. And we took people, like most people, not most, but 25% of the people were from Ohio. So we put them in a group, and then we put the people who were in, we picked 7 or 8 states, and people from, you know, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia. We grouped them and so we did that in 4 or 5 different groups, put people together by groups so they could get to know each other at the beginning of the weekend, rather than, as often happens, at the end of the weekend they happen to meet, gave them a chance to get to know each other. And I think it was one of the most valuable, powerful things that we did. And some of those people, when we did those breakout meetings at about 9 o'clock on Friday night, the first night, we couldn't get the groups to break up. People are so hungry for fellowship. They're so hungry for like-minded people. And I know that regional friendships were made, and out of that's going to grow these pockets of what I call these downlines. I think it was the most important thing we did. Monday morning or Saturday morning, L.A. Marzulli did his thing on. He focused on the lie of Fatima. You guys know what Fatima is, right? The apparition. Fatima 1, Fatima 2 is very, very, very good. And talking about the unveiling of what's going to occur at the end times, when we're going to begin to see these portals open up, and these entities, whatever word you want to call them, begin to appear. That Fatima was just the beginning of that. Russ Dizdar spoke on. Russ was just Russ, and he was powerful. These guys both went for about an hour and a half. And then after lunch, I'm going to run out. I'm going to forget somebody. I don't want to do that. We brought in the Hagman. We brought in John Robertson, who spoke about Hollywood and what's going on in Hollywood. And Joe Hagman followed him up. And then Doug Hagman followed him. And Doug showed a sense of humor, didn't know that Doug had. And then then on Saturday night, David Arthur, I Belong Ministries, Amen. God, the people were blown away by David Arthur. And they were topped off Saturday night by Pastor Paul Begley. And then Sunday morning, yesterday morning, Mark Trump. Oh, my goodness. Cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, your cell phone. Mark wetted our whistle to all that stuff, followed by Pastor Mike Spaulding, who did a great job of talking about how we make practical things, how to make the pulpit great again, but really how to make Christianity great again. And then yesterday afternoon, we got a chance. We got to go. Russ Dizdar's house is about 10 minutes away, so all of our volunteers, I mean, showed up over at Russ's house. They cooked ribs and turkey, and oh my goodness, my goodness. So just glowing. I'm so glad I married the woman that I married. I love my wife so much, her support and her willingness to galley. If I started down the list, I'm forgetting. I think about John Hartzler and his wife had showed up, and Jim and Gwen Kraft had showed up. And I said, Todd and Leslie Barham showed up, and Ray LeBlanc, Mr. Travel Around America and Carry Everybody's Stuff, showed up, and Roger Weaver showed up, and George Lewis showed up, and he brought Paul Webb with him, and Kevin Story brought up. He brought Kevin Appenmeyer with him, and Serge Serge showed up. Serge got he got baptized yesterday. Jared got baptized yesterday. Serge got baptized. Serge got ordained yesterday. We had about 4 or 5 ordinations that took place. Coach, who else you forgetting? Lowell Morrison showed up, and oh my goodness, I know I'm forgetting others. Gary showed up. Gary Donahoe showed up. Wow. So I'm just gonna pull back a minute, and hey, if you think it's boring, tune out. Okay, but I'm just gonna open up the mic and let a few guys jump in here and talk about. Hey, folks, listen. Roger Weaver looked over me one time. I'll let Roger jump in here in a second. He looked over me at one time. Paul Bagley was up speaking, preaching. And Roger looked over at me, said, "Hey, coach." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I ain't never going back to my church." Now, that's not our goal, right? That's not our goal. But if you are there and you hear it and you understand how they put it together, your eyes open and you see what's going on, you can't unsee it. Jump in here, Raj. Go ahead and testify a little bit about.
Hey, Raj, before you start, Coach, piggybacking on what you just said, remember Romans 1, those who condone evil are just as guilty as the ones doing it. The same thing is true about sitting and filling a place in a pew in a church that is not preaching the truth of God's word. If you stay sitting there, you are condoning the preaching of lies.
Amen. Amen, Larry. And that's the one thing that was so good about the conference was everybody was talking about action. They were laying out something for people to do. And I think it was Dizdar. It was one. I think it was Russ Dizdar. It doesn't matter who it was. One of the speakers said, "Listen, what's your gift? What can you do? Can you sew? Can you bake? What is it you can do? Start a ministry around what it is that you can do and quit worrying about how big it is. And stop doing that. You start your ministries, begin to flow in your ministry." And I had a number of people come up afterwards and say to me, "Oh my goodness, coach, I'm leaving here so inspired and so directed. And the Holy Ghost spoke this to me and it spoke this to me. And coach, I'm going to go home and put this into action." And see, that's why we need to continue to be in fellowship, because the reality is when you return home, you got grass to mow. And so you fall back into the being alone and being discouraged, and we can't let that happen. So Roger, I called you, and maybe you're not ready to come in. If you are, jump on in here, Roger.
I would just briefly say, so other men could speak. I left there like a kid that goes to camp in the summer, and it's Sunday, and you're going home, and you don't want to go home. And I think Chad Estes talks about how sometimes we need adult camp.
Amen.
And I just had a good weekend. I enjoyed the fellowship so much. The scriptural teaching was solid. There was very little, if anything, that I would have stood up and said anything negative about. It was just good, solid Bible teaching tied into our culture with a call of action. And it was just good, Dave. I was so proud of the ministry. Kevin and Gary just did a wonderful job of putting things together. But for me, it was the Bible. And I don't mean that in a manner of I'm some great theologian, I'm not. But I just like hearing the Bible. And then I like hearing it tied into culture of what we're supposed to do. And then the fellowship, just as you said, Dave, eyeball to eyeball with some of these guys, and just talking to them. And it was just a week that honored God, and it was just good, Dave. I that's about all I can say right now. I'll let some of the other guys speak. It was just good. The encouragement of knowing that there are pastors out there that will preach an unholed whole gospel message from Genesis to Revelation. It just takes, it's going to take time for us to find them. They're out there. It's just going to take time to find them.
We are a subculture for sure. And again, I think it might have been Pastor Bagley. I can't remember who it was. Said, "How many pastors in the room tonight?" One hand went up. It's amazing. And I don't know what we do to see. I don't think our pastors are, for the most part, I think they want to do the right thing. But this is something that they are just not exposed to. And I said to my wife last night, how do we create a hunger in our leadership? How do we do that? They're not all bought off by the 501c3. They're not. I know a lot of good pastors. And they, Roger, if they would have been there, what they would have heard and what they would have seen and what they could have gone and equipped their churches with. How do we get them? How do we get them? How could there not have been 20 pastors just from Akron there? How could there not have been 20 pastors who listened to this show secretly, not have been there? Dale, what is it? What is it, Dale, that pastors aren't intellectually curious? What is it, Dale? Dale wasn't there. Dale lives in New Orleans. I'm not talking about Dale not being there. Why is there no intellectual curiosity, Dale?
Well, first off, my question is, brother, how can I get the DVDs? you know, I would be there if I could. Got a lot on my plate down here. Yeah, and you're right. They're not.
I understand, man. We understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, brother. Listen, brother. You know me, so it doesn't.
As a matter of fact,
I was excited. I just bought 9 huge pro-abort signs, pro-life signs that I'm adding to my plethora of street ministry. So that's not even in question. But you know, pastors get caught around the wheel of the programs, brother. And this monstrous thing needs fuel and it needs money. So they're busy being businessmen in the church when they're supposed to be pastors, brother. And so they're caught up in it. They're controlled by boards. They're controlled by these programs in their church. And so, brother, they're caught in their own chains. They're bound by the very monsters they make.
Listen, I know good, independent, strong pastors who do not have the hunger, the intellectual curiosity. I don't know. Dale, it grieves me because the room was full of people who are so hungry for the truth. I said this to somebody. I believe this. If some pastor were to get a hold of this, stuff that's going on, if he were to get a hold of it and he would bring it to his church, I promise you this. 2 things would happen. The church would empty and then it would fill. It would empty and then it would fill because people want this. They know something's wrong. They don't know what it is. And going to church and getting 2-3 points in a poem ain't cutting it. If a bold pastor were to pick it up and begin to talk about it and teach on it, the place would empty and then more people would come. I'm convinced. Go ahead, Dale.
Those are the tools that I use, and that's the stuff that I would show. And I mean, I took Matt Trewilla's videos, and literally on Wednesday night, I would play those.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to that. And so I don't know, brother. I don't know if it's they feel threatened at the pulpit about this kind of stuff, brother, that somebody might know something more, that their people might actually get out and do something.
That's it, brother. That's it right there.
It's the fear.
I've had a couple comments pop up. The DVDs are $35, which is a steal. We'll have them in about 2 weeks. We've got to produce them, get it printed, all that stuff. $35, you can order them online, and you can copy them. You can do whatever you want to with them. What did you say, Jared? Okay. Jared's going to put it on the front page of the website so that you can see it. Yeah, George, come on in, man.
Hey, Coach, you know what Dale just said about how pastors could be threatened by their people learning more. Well, isn't that the sign of a truly great leader? A great leader is someone that brings people along that potentially even learn and do better than he did. That's a badge of honor in the kingdom, isn't it?
Do you understand? If you look at the Ohio State University football coaching staff, do you have any idea how many coaches Urban Meyer has on his staff who are ex-head football coaches that for whatever reason lost their job? And what did he do? Urban Meyer went out and hired some guys who are going to bring some information to his team that he didn't have. He watched other guys do good stuff out on the field and says, my goodness, we got to learn that. Oh, you got fired, Kevin Wilson at Indiana. Come and be my offensive coordinator. Oh, you got fired. What, Greg Schiano? You got fired at the Rutgers or Miami Dolphins. Come and be my defensive coordinator. And Pastor, well, come on, man. Come on. There's all kinds of people out there with all kinds of expertise. Come on. And I was thinking when we were driving home, it was just me, Michelle and I in the car. George, after this weekend, isn't Christianity that we're getting so shallow? Isn't it so shallow, George?
Amen. Amen.
Hey, my goodness. Just to throw a couple of cents in here. Long before Christ had started touching my life, when I was a general manager of motorcycle dealerships, when I went to Springfield, Missouri to run that dealership, I hired four people that was an ex-Walmart store general manager, an ex-automotive, a Toyota car dealership general manager. I hired four people that I knew could replace me at the snap of a finger, and it made me look really good. Really good. I had the number one Honda motorcycle franchise in the central part of the country for 2 years in a row. And I was beating big cities like St. Louis and Kansas City and Omaha, Nebraska in Springfield, Missouri. So that's exactly right. You hit a point right there. That's exactly right. And that's what you're doing right now, Coach. You're hiring people. You're recruiting people that you're feeding us this spiritual meat, this need that we have. And it's going to happen, whether you think so or not. And I know sometimes you get frustrated. It's going to happen. I thank you. I don't know. I cannot say enough to
thank you, Kevin. I received it. I told my wife, it humbled me on Saturday night as Michelle and I were going down for the night. It said, my goodness, the fruit. Oh my God, the fruit of this show. It was humbling. Humbling, the fruit of this show. And what do you mean? I said, well, we're building men. The fruit is unbelievable. And George shows up and he brings Paul Webb with him, and he brings his other buddy Gary. I can't remember his name. And oh my goodness, somebody else come on in here. Come on, Mark Trump. Listen, Mark Trump. This is what I love. Okay, we bring speakers. Gary Pierce. Debbie Pierce, Gary's wife. Oh my goodness. Behind the scenes work these guys did is amazing. If there was a hiccup, I never saw it. Gary and Sarge, they did it, man. And so I like to watch people. And I played the MC. I didn't speak myself. I played the MC. And I kept trying to warn people, don't leave. Because see, when you have these speakers, I mean, you get overwhelmed, right? It's like a fire hose just squirting all this new stuff down your throat. And I said, listen, don't go by the name. Say, I don't know that guy. He's probably not very good, or I don't like that topic. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And of course, they would do it. They would pick and choose. They would heard. And we got up yesterday morning, and Mark Trump was on the agenda, artificial intelligence and cybersecurity, whatever, something that didn't sound very exciting. And I'm telling you, there was silence in that room when Mark Trump made his presentation on what's going on in the cyber world. What was your reaction, Mark?
Well, Dave, I just I don't even know where to start. There was just so much goodness in this weekend. I've been to a lot of shows. I've seen a lot of interactions. And, you know, I think like Roger said and Kevin, it was just an amazing event to get to meet everyone and get to build these relationships, these building blocks of our future that we're going to work together. People that came over and talked. I remember one gentleman, he was 15 years old or so, and this kid wants to get into IT security, you know, and he's homeschooled and he's shy. And, just getting to serve, you know, having the platform to serve and to share a little bit about what I know was, and then the venue itself was humbling. Seeing many great men in one place. It's so just
Mark Trump, you had to be in that room because Mark Trump would start talking about data. You guys know how he talks about data, the Bible's data, mining data. And Mark would begin making his presentation, and all of a sudden, people would have an aha moment. You guys know what I'm talking about? They would see where Mark was gone, and they would utter outside, oh, because they saw where he was taking him, and it began to connect in them. Oh, my goodness. Now I see what this data collects. Oh, I heard that more than once as people saw it. And hey, Mark, Are our churches on the cutting edge talking about that? Should we be talking about that? The devil's using that technology. Shouldn't the Christians know that technology? What's going on? Is there any intellectual curiosity about it at all? Or is it all personal holiness, just personal holiness and Jesus coming in and taking care of all your problems? It's so, folks, it's so much broader than that. Oh, my goodness. Mark, you did. Just wonderful job. Hey,
coach.
Yeah.
Coach, it just hit me. See, one man can't know all this stuff. One man can't be an expert in all the stuff that each individual brought, right? So it takes a man whose ego is under the control of the Holy Spirit, like yourself, and I say that very proudly, that allows other men to use their gifts and to shine for the Lord. And see, that's why most pastors want to control everything, and they, especially the big ones, they want to be the magic, and the ego is not under control, in my opinion, in many cases.
L.A. Marzulli, who would be probably one of the lead speakers, most famous, most popular speakers, Kevin Bushy put him at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. 8 o'clock Saturday. Ain't nobody gets up at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. What are you talking about? And so I talked to L.A. because he comes from California, and why his wife Peggy said, you know, golly, 8 o'clock for L.A., you know, golly, wait, East Coast time, West Coast time. And I went to Sarge, and I was going to make a switch, and I went over and I talked to L.A. about it, and L.A., his shoulders went back. He said, what? There ain't nothing special about me. I'll get up at 8 o'clock. I'll take that 8 o'clock slot. I mean, it's just... because ain't nobody sucking on their thumb that they didn't get as much time as they needed. They didn't get none of that going on, man. Because as you said, every one of us had an expertise. And what was really great about it is we shot in about 12. We had 12 speakers. I emceed. We had 13 of us. Well, we had others that spoke. Amazing. Rob Hugh got to speak. I forgot you, Rob. Sorry, Rob. I'm forgetting others. I just know that I am. I already said Glenn Claremont. We had 12 different targets of Christian things that people hadn't thought about that they could walk away from there. And oh my goodness. And see, my appreciation for God is greater than when I went. Now that I see how the devil's working in all of these ways and know that there's nothing new under the sun and that Christ is the one that's in control of it and Christ is the answer to it and Christ has got a plan for it. But we got to see what's going on before we can appreciate the plan. Jump in here, David, Alphabet, man. David, when David Arthur got up there,
it was just like, oh, amazing.
Just hang on just a second. Because David Arthur, when you advertise, well, it was really good in the program. We didn't really say what David Arthur was. We didn't really say what it was. But when he gets up here, this form, and tell people he was a woman for 30 years, people don't know what to think. And David, your presentation and your reception by the people in the room was astounding. Share that with us, David.
It was just amazing. The whole weekend, it was. It felt like a family reunion. But at the same time, there were people that were, I had two women after I spoke that came up to me, and they didn't know each other. And each one of them had said to me, you remind me so much of my son. Please tell me, how can I pray? And so the other one said the same thing. And I said, excuse me. I said, do you two know each other? And they were like, no. I said, well, I think you need to. And so they connected. And wow. then they spent the next whole day walking around together, talking. People need in every area, they need connections, they need people that they can connect with, that they can relate to. They don't need people that are sitting in the pews that are telling them, well, don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about that now. You know,
and David, they don't want to accept their child's homosexuality. They don't want to give in to it.
Right.
And everybody,
these are the ones that came.
Love them.
These are the ones that were there. The ones that were there are the ones that are saying, am I doing something wrong because I'm not accepting it? But now that I heard you speak, I know that I'm not doing anything wrong by not accepting it, by not allowing it in my home.
because Amen. They didn't need it in their home. And so now they have confirmation because you put this together, Coach. These so many people, probably well over 100 people over the weekend, said they have confirmation that they are doing the right thing.
It's unbelievable. Dr. Mike Spaulding, Mike, I don't know if you can jump in here or not. Mike, I've heard you several times. It was the best. It was the best I heard you, Mike. And what would be your reaction, or what would be if I don't even I see you're here, Mike. I don't know if you can get in or not. What would be just your reaction there, Dr. Mike? If he could be just listening in the background. So, Mike, if you come back and you can jump in here, we'd love to hear from you. Who else? Somebody jump. John Brockoff. John, can you come in here? John came. Kevin Van Story was there. He's always Lowell Morris. Anybody jump in? Portia was there. She brought Chase and Cash. And I can't remember your daughter's name, Portia. I'm sorry, but Portia was there. Wow. Somebody come on in here.
Well, Coach, I can't wait to see you guys in August. I'll tell you that.
Dave?
Amen. When we come your way to come into New York. Guys, listen.
Dave?
Hang on just a second, Rod. Go ahead. Then I'll come back. Go ahead, Rod.
I wanted to talk about the baptisms for a second. I think.
Oh, wow.
But I've always seen these as you and other men have done other places. But I think what struck me, there was never a big altar call over the weekend. All that was announced was, we're going to be having baptisms. If you want to get baptized, let us know. So it was really, I felt for those that got baptized, it wasn't an emotional push to do it. They wanted to be baptized. Mm-hmm. There was an altar call. Now, I'm not against altar calls, but it seemed to be very organic as people were either dedicating or giving their life to Christ. It was very organic. It seemed to be very personal. And then all of a sudden on Sunday, you know, you've got 12 or 14 people showing up who were moved throughout the weekend. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and they said, I want to be baptized. It just seemed so natural without the altar call forcing the issue.
Amen, brother. Amen. I'm just looking down the list. Somebody come in here. John Brockoff, can you come in here, John? Are you able to get your microphone working, John?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, John.
Yeah, it was great seeing everybody. And I'm remorseful that there were people there from the queue that I didn't meet. And so I apologize, and I am resolved that the next time I'm going to make sure that I track down everybody who's in the queue and meet them and chat with them.
Amen. Amen. You know, John, that reminds me of something that I'm going to acknowledge this, but I'm not going to acknowledge anybody. I got story after story from brothers who were there that came up to me and said, do you know he gave me $100? I bet I had 5 different stories of that.
Wow.
Somebody coming up to me said, do you know that man walked up to me and gave me $100. It was like brothers taking care of brothers. You get what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, it was absolutely unbelievable. People sharing rooms, people buying rooms, people doing. Josh Mann, I forgot about Josh Mann, and his brother drove all the way up from Florida at the last minute. And who am I forgetting, Lord? Who am I forgetting? Doesn't mean you're insignificant if I don't remember this. It was great. Come on, somebody else jump in.
It's real fellowship.
Dr. Mike Spaulding, can you get in here, Dr. Mike?
Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah, brother. Yes. Okay. Give us your overview, Mike. And you're going to have one in June. You're going to have one in June as well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to tell you thanks for putting this on. These kind of things are becoming increasingly important because of all the issues that were discussed this weekend. And it pains me to say that it's not being discussed in the church, but I think we're starting to turn the tide on that, Coach.
I do too.
I've been encouraging, and listen, one of the things that was a tremendous blessing to me was to be involved in ordaining these men, to sending them out,
yeah.
Whether it's prisons or start their own home Bible studies. Folks need to remember something. That's how the church began and grew in the first place. It was home Bible studies. People were meeting in their homes in all these different cities we read about in the scriptures. Well, let's start a new movement. What do you think of that, Coach?
And Pastor Mike, as you alluded to again yesterday morning, there aren't pastors, but Mike, the room is full of ministers. They just don't know they're ministers, right?
They think
you've got to be educated pastors. And you made that point, and Paul Begley made that. Come on, man, we're all in this. Get busy doing what you can do.
And
just to be able to, for man to have a piece of paper that says that you are, and it's powerful. Mike, when you did a great, Pastor Spalding in his presentation showed a clip from the Love Boat. It's powerful, Mike. He showed a clip from the Love Boat, and then he showed a clip from Saving Private Ryan. And he said, the imagery of it was unbelievable. Which one are we here, boys and girls? And, you know, he played the intro, the Love Boat. It was really, really powerful, Mike. So, and you're having one in June, right, Mike? You're going to put the meat on the bones on that one. So here are the folks close to Ohio. Pastor Mike's going to have an event there as well.
June 8th, 9th, and 10th, Coach, you're going to be there. David Arthur's going to be there. Tom Dunn's going to be there. Ressa Dizdar will be there. And Preston and Kelly Condra will be there. They've written a couple of books on evangelism and training.
Boy, we need that. People,
how you share the gospel. So, yeah, it's going to be powerful.
But Lord knows we do. We do need that. Anybody else want to jump in? Gary, you want to jump in here?
I just heard Pastor Mike talked there. How do we get information on that June coming in June for the 8th, 9th, and 10th?
Yeah, you can go to SoaringEagleRadio.com.
Okay. SoaringEagleRadio.com. We'll get it up on our website too, Pastor Mike.
Okay. I thought it was fabulous. It was just great just getting together. I love the speakers. I love the between time, just getting to meet everyone after. We just crave that so much. I don't know what
amen. To say. Amen, Gary. Amen. And you and your precious wife, man, God bless you so much. Ray, can Ray LeBlanc get in there? Hey, boys, listen to me. Hear me. Ray LeBlanc's life has changed. I don't even know if Ray can put it into words, but he's running all across America now. And listen. Transmission went out yesterday. Now, I was talking to Ray earlier in the weekend. I said, Ray, we got to get you a new vehicle. He said, oh, no, Coach. I love my red van. I can carry a lot of stuff in it and yada, yada, yada. And so there he's up there pulling stuff home for chance and doing whatever he can do. And his reverse goes out in his van. We got to help Ray get a transmission put back in that thing. See, all right. We have a storehouse here. And was it you, Pastor Mike? One pastor, it was either you or Pastor Paul Begley. I think it was Pastor Mike Spalding, asked the question very openly. Why are you guys giving your money to these churches that aren't doing anything? They're not doing anything. And why are you taking your tithe money, if you believe in tithing, why are you taking that tithe money and giving it to those old dead mausoleums? Isn't that sort of what you said, Pastor Mike, that I didn't mean to put words in your mouth? This coming from a pastor. We can't muzzle the ox. We got to take a guy like Ray and keep Ray doing his ministry. And what's his ministry? He's got a ministry of helps. He gets in his van and he drives from Texas and brings a U-Haul truck full of books and stuff so others don't have to spend $1,000 to ship it. He brings it all the way up there. Well, he's living in a camper. He's living. We have to be able to help brothers like this.
Yeah, Coach.
Mike.
Yeah, I did say that, and it goes back to the whole understanding of where is the kingdom of God being advanced? Where is the work of the ministry being done? Those are the places we should be supporting. We shouldn't just like robots bring money into the church if it's dead or apostate. We're still first of all, if we're still there, why are you still there? But secondly. Don't be feeding that. Don't be sustaining that. Don't be contributing toward a dead branch. You need to get out of that place, first of all. Then you need to support people like you and ministries that were represented there this weekend that are actually doing the work.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thanks, Mike. Doors open. Somebody walk on in here. Jared, what do you got to say? Let Jared go a minute. Now, I may get some feedback because we're very, very close here. And Jared, if you want to, you can walk over here. Jared's going to come over here because it's he's right over there. And we'll get feedback and all that stuff. Jared got baptized. Jared ran the whole show, and he has to listen to every speaker because let's get up here, Jared. Jared has to listen to every speaker because he's running the board and everything, right? And I kept looking over at him. He'd smile and shake his head. Wow. What's your reaction? We can pick you up.
Yeah, it was.
He's not this much bigger than me. It looks kind of awkward.
No,
that's a little better.
Like I said before, I've been questioning the church a lot, and it's really, it's the church, man. I mean, you can't, these men and women are Christian men and women. That's it. I mean, they're, Russ Dizdar, everybody, the common theme for everybody, it never got off the gospel, ever, not once. Even when they were talking about stuff that could easily lead you astray off into the world of AI, computers, IT, whatever.
Giants.
I mean, you could go for ages and years on that stuff. And yet still it never got off of the word of, you know, Christ and God.
Yep.
Not once. And I mean, I don't even know how anybody could do that with the amount of stuff that was talked about and not get distracted.
There's nothing new under the sun. You understand this? If AI is being created, the Lord's there, man, right? If the giants are real, the Lord's there. Thanks, Jared. The Lord's there. And so for us to compartmentalize Christianity and put it in that little box, my horizons have been so expanded when I hear these guys talk. Oh, Lord, help us. Somebody walk on in here. Come on.
Dave,
we got here. We got 18.
Dave, I just wanted to say earlier, I want to let everybody else talk, but we made that point about why isn't your pastor there? Or why isn't he on fire or whatever? Your leaders are not on fire. Well, let's get new leaders in there. We need
amen
to step up here. And get going and get them a brigade going or something like that, whatever, you know, just they have something to offer. Just like you said, you build it with what you have.
That's right. Whatever it is you do best, do it. Do it. I'm driving home last night. And Michelle says to me, my sweet little wife, she says to me, well, honey, I sometimes don't even know what I'm doing for the kingdom. I want to reach over and shake her. What are you talking about? You're the hostess, man. You're the hostess with the mostest. Your gift is giving of yourself and doing and serving. That is a ministry. That's a ministry. If you're watching this show right now, what is it you do best? Are you an auto repair man? Start a daggone ministry of it. Are you a guitar player? Start a ministry of it. You're a car salesman? Start a ministry of it. Whatever it is the Lord has gifted you to do, quit sitting around waiting for somebody to come down and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, why don't you do this for me? Just start doing it. We are so boxed in on religion and Christianity and who's a minister and who's not a minister and who's anointed and who's not anointed. Gee, money, criminy. How would Mark Trump have ever thought that cyberspace would lead him into ministry? Gee, criminy. Come on, boys. Somebody get up out there. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
George.
You know, as we're talking about all this, and maybe this will set some people free out there, church isn't something we should just check off. I know we've all probably have done that in the past. We check off, hey, we went to church, so we fulfilled our duty.
But like this weekend, it wasn't a duty. I don't think any of us now are going, hey, we checked it off. We went to the conference. We're good Christians. Christianity is something you do 24/7 all the time.
It's who you are. It's what you live, man. We're not perfect at
it, but it's something that's in our heart. So, man, get set free. Don't just think you're going to church, checking it off, and that means you're doing your spiritual duty, because that's not what it's about.
Amen, man. It's not. And once you realize that whatever you enjoy is where you're gifted, once you realize that, now you become free to really, really flow in the ministry. Come on, somebody else, come on in here. I want to hear. Yeah.
One of the things that you shared, I think it was, it didn't sink in, but it did with me. You mentioned that we're at a point now in our Christian walk that we can no longer assimilate. We can no longer be a part. We can no longer try to blend in to win souls.
Amen.
You know, I used to say, and I felt this way a long time, that the body of Christ is sitting in these churches, you know, some of the body trickled throughout, sprinkled in the churches, and it's a rescue mission. It's not like we should go in and save the churches anymore. It's a rescue mission. Some churches are having an exception where the most of the people in there and the pastor, you know, are in the body. But think about this. Whenever the early Christians were being persecuted, they had to separate themselves from everyone else.
That's right.
And that's not something that's a church message. It's all about coming together. But the remnant church is not in the churches. The majority of them in this particular time in our, and I think that is going to grow more prevalent. We're going to see it more. We're going to see more home. I heard a lot of people talking about setting up a Bible study in their homes. That's what I mean. It goes back to what someone said about it being the way the first church started, from Bible studies in homes. We're having to separate ourselves, you know.
Amen, Mark. And I had a conversation with an 84-year-old, I'm going to say this the right way, woman from Canada. She and seven or eight of her friends came down, Eleanor. I'm not going to use her last name just because, you know, privacy reasons. Had a great conversation with her. She gave me some information. You know, she told me, and it really hit with me. Pastor Mike, listen to this one. Dale, Pastor, listen to this. She said, we're in the modern day Exodus. And I said, what? She says, yeah, there's a modern day Exodus that's taking place as God is calling his people out of Egypt, calling them out of that bondage that they've been into, that bondage of religion. They're being called out of it. There's an Exodus taking place. And I thought, oh my goodness, because I see it. That room is full of people, most of them not in church. And then I didn't realize this, Mark, on the way up, I think it was Friday, when I was driving up to the event, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Folks, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Holy Spirit spoke very quickly to me. Remember, my sheep hearing my voice. And, you know, I've been to a lot of the conferences, and you go and they talk about what's going on in the heavenlies. Great speakers, Dr. Michael Lake, and I could go on Carl Gallup. Just great stuff. What's going on in the heavenlies and all that. Rapture and lining up the moons and the stars, all that. And we're driving up on Friday morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, tell them to get their eyes out of the clouds. You guys get that? What's this have to do with it, anything? What does all this have to do with anything? It's going on right here. Right here. I'm living in time and space right here. Didn't mean don't look up there. It's okay to look up there, but don't stay there. And we're staying there. Go to these conferences, and it's all this stuff that's going on, all this. Mark Trump said the most unbelievable thing. Yes, Mark, I don't even know if you said it. Just one of those nuggets. You just, when you hear it, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. My goodness. Mark Trump said this book right here, it's just data.
Right.
It's just data. And it's a matter of how deep you want to go into it, how much data mining you want to do.
Amen, brother.
Because if you think this thing here is simply words on a page in a book, ain't no wonder you're stuck in neutral. And so you take any topic that you want to. Let's pick the topic of football. Let's say you brought up the topic of football. Do you have any idea in how many different directions that discussion could go just on football? You could talk about the different teams. Could talk about the different positions on the team. You could talk about specialty positions on the team. You could talk about the front office. You could talk about the coaches. George went to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton. All that stuff, all that hit, all that data that is there. Folks, this is a living, breathing, wow, data. This thing's full of data. And it's how deep do you want to go? You want to go to Genesis? Go to Genesis 6 real quick, Jared. Can you do that over there, man? Go to Genesis 6. Because you'll get in the Bible and you'll read through the Bible and they're just words. And if you're reading the Bible just as words, hey! If you're reading the Bible just as words, you're missing the data. Love you, sweetie. Thanks for coming down and seeing me. You got Genesis 6 up there, Jared? David! David! Yay! Grampy's home! Smile! Smile, David! There you go. There you go. Okay, now look! Look! Data! Data! Are you ready? There were giants, verse 4, Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Stop! That's a data statement. How deep do you want to go? It's deeper than we know. We got to quit reading so shallow. Dig. Study to show yourself approved. All the data's in here. The Lord said what? There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. It's all right there. But if you just read over, there were giants in the day in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And just move on to the next verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was day. Well, you just passed a bunch of data. There's a whole bunch. How deep do you want to go? It's all there. Is anybody getting this besides me? Are you getting that revelation? This book's data. Amen. It's data from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The data's here. There's nothing new. It's all in here.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. Just like the explorers of old, brother, they thought the earth was flat until they that went out and explored the earth, they went to what they thought was the edge of the earth, and they found out that there was more to the earth. Most people are surfing the scriptures. They're like those who boogie board and surfboard on the ocean, and they don't realize you got to put a snorkel on to look underneath, and you begin to see life. And when you begin to see life, guess what? You put on a scuba gear and you begin to dive down. Then the more life you see, then you put on a deep sea diving scuba gear, and the further down into the ocean you go, we finding life that was never before. And that's what most Christians do. They surf the scripture. And that's what the word, he says, study to show yourself proof. That it is going deeper into the world. And to do the work of the ministry, 2 Timothy 4 says this. It says to endure hardship and do the work of the ministry.
There's information in here about how to get healthy, how to stay healthy. There's information in there about demons and mind control. It's all in here. All that data is in here. And we want to be so shallow with it. It reminds me of this story. I had a guy come over and did some repair. This goes back 25, 30, long time ago. Came over and did some workmanship repair in our house. Something had happened. I can't remember what it was exactly. Something around the mantle. He did some repair work. And when he was done, he did it. He came over and did it real quick. And I told him, you know, don't put a lot of money in it. Just fix it up. And when he was getting ready to leave, as he's walking out the door, he said to me, I'll never forget it. He says, Coach, I would appreciate it if you didn't let people know that I did this. And I said, why? Why wouldn't you want me? Why wouldn't you want him to know it? Because he said, I just did a halfway job on it. Just to make, and I don't want people to think that's the kind of work that I do. Now, think about that, huh? In other words, he's saying to me, oh, coach, this repair, it goes so much deeper. It can, I can make this look so much nicer, but I'm just going to smooth it over for you so it looks good. But don't tell anybody that's the work I do, because I do deep work. That's a powerful statement, boys. Huh? Run up and get Grampy's breakfast ready. Would you do that, David? Thanks for coming down.
Some of the deep work that I saw this weekend was some of the stuff that Mark Trump said. I'm still analyzing that, but one of the things I'm going to say that we all need to do, and one of the most profound things that he said, is that we have to get prepared because of the things that are coming. Whether you take the mark or you're going to take the chip or whatever like that, I'll spend probably 20 or 30 hours dissecting everything that we did this weekend. It was more than I could do right then.
Let me finish. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, just something that David Arthur said earlier, it just struck a chord it just jumped out. David Arthur said a lot of folks came up, or at least two special people that he mentioned specifically, came up and says, how do we pray about our sons? How do we pray about our sons? Well, you know, there were some other people in history that asked that question. It was Jesus' disciples, and they asked Jesus' disciples how to pray, and he told them. Now, that would be a pretty good answer to give those ladies, I think. Now, the other thing I want to say is somebody mentioned that, you know, going to church is not checking it off. Just going and doing this or that or something is not all there is to this Christianity thing. You know, the same thing is true about our citizenship in this country. Going and voting every 4 years is not all there is to it. And then one last thing, Dale mentioned surfing. Well, you know, it just struck me that when surfers go out there surfing, they leave the comfort of the shore and this security of the beach. They paddle out into the ocean a little ways, then they jump up on a surfboard and let a wave carry them back to the shore. And that is exactly what a lot of Christians are doing. They're jumping out there a little bit, and then they're letting somebody else's effort, that would be the wave, they're letting the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or somebody else propel them back to their solid sense of security. When Dave says, man, you got to put on that snorkel and rent the scuba gear and put yourself in jeopardy to go out there and find out what's deep down out there.
Larry, well said. Jared, go to Hebrews. Let me finish up with Hebrews here. I got 2 minutes. Go to, he's right over there. I'm thinking he's in Maine. Hebrews 11, Jared. Wow. I'm at verse, let's go to 18. No, let's not do that, Jared. Let's go to 32. Hebrews 8:11-32. Sorry, folks, I'm up against the clock here. Bear with me. And what more shall I say? This is the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11, Faith Hall of Fame. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah. Data! Mark, there's data! There's a story behind every one of them! Of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. There's data there! You want to know the story of stopping the mouths of lions, of obtaining prophecies? There's data there! Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. There's data there. There's stories there. Out of weakness, they were made strong, waxed valiant in flight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life. There's data there. Others were tortured. Data! Not accepting deliverance. Data! That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings. Data! scourgings, yeah, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Data, would you like to hear those stories? They were sown in half. You want to hear that? They were tempted. They were slain in the sword. They wandered about. Data, 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 sheepskins, goatskins, how deep do you want to go? Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, data, and in mountains, data, and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having attained a good report, data. What was that good report? There's data there. They didn't receive the promise. Data. God having provided some better thing for us, data, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wow. Data. Data. How deep do you want to go? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.